Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Remember, we've already established, let me say it again, that in marriage there is freedom, there is celebration, and every other kind of sexual relationship is porneia and is forbidden by God. Every other kind of sexual relationship. Marriage, celebration, freedom, every other sexual relationship is porneia, forbidden by God. But let me tell you something. Don't, in the process of all this battle in which we're in, it's a battle for marriage.
The truth is, you can build a strong marriage even in our depraved culture. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message called Battle for Marriage. He's equipping you to strengthen your marriage in a culture that attacks it. So keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young, you'd probably agree we're facing a real cultural problem these days. Political division and racial tensions have seldom been higher. That's why Dr. Young wants to help you stand firm in God's Word amidst the cultural battles we're facing by sending you his brand new 7-message series, Culture Clash. This series equips you to stand for truth in our culture and push back the darkness with the power of God's Word. We'll send you Culture Clash as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Battle for Marriage, Part 2.
God gave us gender. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. God gave us marriage, and the two shall become one flesh. God gave us sex, and as they are no longer two but one flesh, God gave us a new identity. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. God has given us exclusivity. This is all involved in the beautiful, glorious mystery of marriage. Look what God has given us. It is a wonderful thing and is a sacred thing. But what happened to so many marriages? Sometimes it's infidelity. It's adultery, destroys so many marriages. You say, what's the leading problem of the destruction of marriage today? That leads to that deadly thing called divorce. By the way, divorce is suicide. Do you know that? It's suicide. Because when two become one flesh, okay, there's a new person. And when that new person dies through divorce, that is suicide. Let me say there are grounds for divorce. Make no mistake about it. Biblical grounds for divorce. And where there are grounds for divorce in the Bible, there's always grounds for remarriage when there are biblical grounds. But let me say that divorce comes because sometimes of money, sometimes of immorality. Let me tell you something about divorce. We've heard for a long time, well, divorces are 50-50 in divorces. The truth is today, fewer people are getting married. In 1960, 70.2% of the people who were of a marriageable age got married. 1960, 72% plus got married. Today, in the past 5 or 6 years, about 51% of those who are in marriageable age get married. Isn't that interesting? Wonder why that is. So much people are living together and are not married. They're cohabitating together and they're not married. In fact, more children are brought up in homes where the man and the woman are not married than in homes where there is a divorce. The cohabitation has doubled since the turn of the century. Doubled since the turn of the century. And therefore, we look at divorce, it's no longer 50%. Divorce from those who are married from 2000 falling is about 2/3 remain married, 1/3 get a divorce. Isn't that interesting? And that 1/3 who get a divorce, we've seen in some polls, well, 50% of them are Christians. But the name Christian, the title Christian, and recently, I don't know what it was, Pew Research or Barner said it. They said, let's look at that little area. How many divorces take place where the couples worship together? Worship together. Not just the general broad title, I've been baptized, I'm a member of the... Oh, no. Not just the general. How many divorces take place out of that 1/3 that gets divorced today that they worship together? And this new survey said 3%. Did you hear that? 3%. Because if we worship corporately on the weekend, that leads us to believe there is worship privately together, sometimes the rest of the week. It is a beautiful word about what it means to worship God regularly and faithfully in His house and in our homes. So interesting. But on the other side of the coin, there's a bill before the legislature in Mexico, and there are some in our government now who are proposing that if marriage is simply a contract, let's start off with a minimum of 2 years. You know, let's write a contract, and it'll be a contract of 2 years. You could have a 5-year contract. It could have provisions for renewal. If it's simply a civic matter, let's just sign up for a certain time and see if we want to renew. Some people think, boy, that would be a great idea. So we have a whole new world of marriage. But marriage is a gift of God. It is a sacred thing. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when we work at it and we grow and we give the highest priority to the happiness of our mate and our mate gives the highest priority to us, you have a marriage that sings, that works, that is alive, that is holy. Life is sacred. We know that. We're made in the image of God, and the sexual part of life is sacred. We've talked about that. And marriage is the holy part that God has given us as a provision for procreation, a provision for pleasure, and a symbol of the relationship between the Christian and the bridegroom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful, powerful, basic entity. But marriage is under attack today. It has been redefined. Let me begin by saying, 2013, the all-wise Supreme Court found in the 14th Amendment something that you have to be a legal gymnast to figure out. But when you can read something and you can make it mean anything you want it to mean, in postmodern understanding, they found the provision for gay marriage. Amazing. Amazing. Astounding. And let me say up front, there is no such thing as gay marriage. It doesn't exist. Gay is not a modifier of marriage. You see, marriage is a thing. It exists. It has been defined. It is something. You no more can say, well, I'm going to make a circle into a square. Try that one out. a whole new world of geometry. Here is a circle, but it is now a square. And you say, well, this is a new form of marriage. It is not. It is impossible because marriage has been defined. Let me rush and say once again, as I've already stated, we in the body of Christ accept anybody and everybody. We have adulterers, we have fornicators, we have liars, we have murderers, we have those who are engaged in every kind of immorality in the body of Christ. They are here. All are welcome. We accept anybody and everybody, but acceptance does not mean affirmation. And we do not applaud. We accept. We seek to love and care and listen to every one of us. And we're a whole bunch of people of messed up lives, every single one of us here, with no exceptions. But we have acceptance. And then we see, what kind of acceptance is it? There is a social acceptance. We accept people socially. The Bible teaches this. In biblical days, when you sit down and eat with someone, you were associating with them. Peter was accused of this. Paul got in trouble with this. You sit down, there is social acceptance. And there is legal acceptance. Certainly legally, we would not say, boy, put this person in jail. We have legal acceptance of all people in the body of Christ. But then there's intellectual acceptance. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. So we look and see we cannot intellectually and biblically, because of what the Bible teaches about this lifestyle, there'll be an accommodation there, but there'll be no applause and no affirmation. Why? Intellectually, we know what God has said. Have you noticed something, folks? Just for a way of illustration, have you ever seen anybody seeking to live inspired by the Spirit, by biblical principles, as a single or as a married person, by biblical principles, and their life is all messed up? Have you ever heard of that? No, you never will. God's way for marriage and life and sexuality is a way that really, genuinely, always works, always functions properly and beautifully. So then you have intellectual acceptance. No. Social acceptance, yes. Legal acceptance, certainly. Intellectual acceptance, no. Because we have principles by which we go. For example, let's say that you came to me and said, your friend, I accept you legally, accept you socially, and you say, you know, if you put sand in your gas tank, it will really help your car to run. It will be a super thing. Now, intellectually, I don't think this would work. No. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, it's a wonderful thing. I put a little sand in my gas tank. My car is running better than it ever has before. I'd say, no, intellectually, I can't agree with that. I can't accept that intellectually. And then you'd say, well, you know, you're welcome to do that. That's your choice. You put sand in your tank if you want to. That's fine. But I have reason to think if you keep on putting sand in the gas tank, you know what will happen? That filter will gradually get clogged, little filter that protects the rest of the motor. And that filter is clogged. As it's getting clogged, your gas per miles will begin to slow down and your motor will not be functioning. But when it's totally clogged, bang, that car will stop. This is the way it is. We would say to those who are engaging in a lifestyle that's contrary to the principle of God, whatever that lifestyle may be, whatever form of immorality would be, you're putting sand in the gas tank of your life, immorality in the gas tank of your life. It may seem good, it may feel good, it may look good, but eventually your life will be clogged up and you will not function as God Almighty has designed you to function. So this is the way that we have to live. Acceptance, but not affirmation. love. And then we separate the lifestyle from the life. In other words, we love the sinner, but hate the sin. But in the LGBT lifestyle, they define themselves by what they do. And we would say to anyone in this lifestyle, you're more than that. You're bigger than that. We love you as a person, but we do not approve your lifestyle. It's like putting sand in the gas tank. In a period of time, it will destroy your health, it'll destroy your mentality, it'll destroy your acceptance, and you'll be in big trouble in this life and even, of course, with God. I would say that to an adulterer, I'd say that to a liar, I'd say that to anybody, and I would say that we don't need to be identified by what we do. God loves us, and we're to love one another as to the person that we are. And that's so important we make that particular distinction. Now, it's difficult for all of us. We're all sinners. And by the way, these no sins are no worse than my sins or your sin. If my sin is a sin of anger, it may be just as deadly in God's sight or more so than the sins of the flesh. The difference of sexual sins, they take place inside your body, the Bible says. It is an inside kind of thing, whereas other sins are out here. That's the problem with sexual sin, whatever form it may take. Remember, we've already established, let me say it again, that in marriage there is freedom, there is celebration, and every other kind of sexual relationship is porneia and is forbidden by God. Every other kind of sexual relationship. Marriage, celebration, freedom, every other sexual relationship is porneia, forbidden by God. But let me tell you something. Don't, in the process of all this battle in which we're in, it's a battle for marriage. The goal is to eliminate marriage altogether. Make no mistake about it. It's like the mouse who ate the cookie. Keep on going. Keep on going. Till the whole moral climate is totally changed and we no longer have a Judeo-Christian country. We have a country that is godless, that is nothing but humanism, and a nothing of it feels good, it must be all right mentality. But that's not how marriage is meant to be. This week, a friend I've known for a long time from South Carolina called me. And he brought me up to date. Man, he's 91 years old. He was married for 65 years. His wife died a few years back. He was telling me about all of his children whom I knew and who they married and their children and our great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. He had almost 40 in that number. And it is beautiful to hear. Just almost every one of them are walking with God in Jesus Christ. I said, what a legacy you have, Russell. And he told me about his wife and said she died a few years ago, the day after our 65th wedding anniversary. Said she was in the hospital and said, every year we're married, I took her a long stem red rose. He said, I took 65 long stem red roses in a vase up to her hospital. He said, almost killed me carrying it up. He said, I gave it to her, and she smiled and said, you know, Russell, I'm just ready to go home. He said, honey, if you're ready to go home, go home. Next day, she graduated. That reminded me of a classic story along the same line. I put it in my book on the Ten Commandments of Marriage, and it's a wonderful story about another couple. They were friends in all the way through school and high school. They became boyfriend and girlfriend, and he wanted to marry her, and her dad said not until she graduates from high school. So she graduated at 10 o'clock in the morning. They got married at 7 o'clock that night. And it was the kind of couple, when you'd see one, you'd see the other. They played together, they laughed together, they traveled together, they were in business together, in a car business, and they just did everything. They were inseparable. They were like the dynamic duo. They lived in Arizona, and they had a magnificent life, a magnificent family, and they were just in harmony. They were a team, totally one, a team. But they'd been married for 72 years, and they were in a catastrophic automobile accident. Both of them crushed, critical condition. They were in the hospital, and the nurses and doctors would go see her, and she'd say, "Well, how is he doing? Go see him. I'm going to be all right." They'd go see him. He'd say, no, get out of here. Go see her. How is she doing? And when they realized that both of them were on the very edge of death, they put them in the same room, side by side in a bed. And these are two that had cheered for the University of Arizona. They'd been born. They were just a team. And immediately they got side by side, bang, they started holding hands. Holding hands. He died first. The family, they said, "Your dad is gone." And the son said, "Oh, no, look. His heart monitor is still beating. He's alive." Nurse said, "No, they're holding hands so tightly that her heartbeat is going all the way into his heart, and that's the reason his monitor is still beating." An hour later, she died. And the son said at their memorial service a beautiful thing. He said, "You know, my dad always said, a good woman is worth waiting for." And he said, God took him home first, and he waited right outside of heaven until my mom got there, and they went in together and met Jesus.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you talked today about the importance of the nuclear family, one man, one woman. I really have a two-part question. Can you talk about how that has a direct influence on the fabric and health of our nation? And secondly, how should we as Christians respond in love?
Number one, marriage was the first institution God established in the beginning. Not a church, not a business, marriage. And so God intends for marriage, relationship between a man and a woman, to be a mirror, to be a symbol of our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. So therefore, if we're to have homes that function, lives that function, children that are to grow up and become everything God designed for them to become, it has to begin, I think, with a marriage, with a nuclear family. Therefore, it is the foundational building block of America and of any part of this world who wants to function biblically, courageously, and dynamically throughout life.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to equip you even more by sending you Dr. Young's brand new 7-message series, Culture Clash. There's no doubt we're facing a culture war these days, but as Dr. Young shares in this series, instead of laying low, God is calling you to push back the darkness with the truth of His Word. Find out how when you get a copy of Culture Clash. Our thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong and broadcasting all over the world. So call now to give and request your copy of Culture Clash. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young shines important light on the ways the world and the enemy are fighting against God's people.